The message title this morning is Updating Our Operating System. And I walked in and gave it to the sound guys in the back, and they thought it sounded more like a business seminar than a Sunday morning sermon. But it's a message that God has laid on my heart. I actually was at another church a couple of months ago on a Sunday morning, and I didn't get much out of the Sunday school lesson because I was writing a lot of things down. It's a message that God laid on my heart, and it's evolved some since then. But it's a message that I believe there's a lot of confusion about. And I believe it's a message that's very important for us in the world that we live in. But not only in our world, it was important for the time of the early church because it comes straight out of the Bible, some of the pieces of it. But we live in a very technological world, and we know a lot about operating systems. It's the word that we hear. Hey, I got a new computer. What operating system did you get? Did you get the latest one? Did you get the most recent one? Did you get or your cell phone? Like, what did you get? Are you still back at the ancient times where you have like a 3G or a 2G or something like that, or do you have the 4G and the? I'm learning this stuff from Doug. I don't have an iPhone, by the way. Or do you have the latest and the best, the 4GS? And so we're aware of that. And an operating system is just a system by which the device that you're using operates, how it functions, how it operates. And the question comes back to us: what's our operating system as people? And the Bible speaks pretty clearly about that. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. I want to read these verses out of the New King James Version, and then I want to put the ESV up on the screen a little bit later, and I want to reread them out of that. The book of Romans chapter 8 says this, In the New King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then actually the King James and New King James and some of the translations add this. This isn't in the original text, this next phrase, although the same thing is said down a little bit farther. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. Likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. By the way, I don't know if you're following me as I read, but verses have a tendency to break up the thought of what's being said. And sometimes if you read according to the verse, you actually lose what's being said in the context of how he's saying it. And verses actually mess with us pretty drastically. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I can get lost. Because there's a lot of stuff going on in those verses. And some of the wording and terminology, I can get lost pretty quickly as I read that, just as I read it. So I want to read the first 11 verses out of the ESV. The ESV is actually the translation that I do the majority of my study in. Carl, you can hit this light here. Just give me a... It says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own..." I'm going to stop right there. What couldn't the law do? Why did God have to send Jesus? God instituted the law. He gave the law to the children of Israel. He told them, "This is how I want you to live. But what couldn't the law do? This is saying the law couldn't do some things because it was weakened by the flesh. And one thing that the law cannot do is it cannot produce holiness in our lives. It cannot produce purity in our lives. It can't produce what the law is intended to produce. The law in itself cannot produce those kind of things in our life. There's absolutely no way it can do it. The law is just the law. The speed limit doesn't produce in me a desire to drive 55. It just tells me that if I go over 55, I'm not following the law that the authorities set up. The reality is I want to be able to drive 75. Because I want to get to where I want to go a lot quicker than just 55. 55 is old school stuff. I want to be able to go a lot faster than that. So it doesn't produce in me a desire to drive 55. It can't do that. It just tells me that when I go 60, I'm disobeying the law of the land. And that's what the law could not do. It could not produce... can't produce in us holiness and purity and righteousness. It can't do that. And so God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk, and then it says this, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And let me just unpack that a little bit. God sent Jesus so that righteousness and holiness and purity could be produced in our lives. That's why he sent Jesus into the world. He condemned sin so that we could, inside of us, righteousness and holiness and purity and all the things that we need as people to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord could be produced in us. It couldn't be produced any other way. It couldn't be produced by following the law. It's produced by the Spirit of the Lord, and I'll get into that a little bit later, working in our lives. That's how righteousness and holiness and purity and the whole list of things, that's how it's produced in our lives. So Jesus came to be able to do that. And that's available for us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me just point out one thing. So right here, I thought I was going to point out something. Right here we have a reference to the law. What the law could not do. Let's keep going in the verses. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to Him. That's a pretty powerful statement right there. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God moving and flowing and working in your life does not belong to the Lord. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I either missed it or the ESV took it out. I thought it was in there. Let me just look here. Verse 7. Can you go back to verse 7? Yeah, there it is. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. I want you to note that. Indeed, it cannot submit to God's law. And let me just unpack a little bit what's going on here. I want to begin talking. First of all, there's three operating systems that is talked about in this passage of Scripture. The first one is the law-based operating system. And he speaks directly to that in these passages. But let me explain something to you, because I think there's a lot of confusion about this in today's world. There's a big difference between the Bible, and it directly addresses it in this passage. There's a big difference between a law-based operating system and the law of the Lord. Do you understand the difference between those two? A law-based operating system is when we follow the law, and we follow the letter of the law, and we think on a law-based system. That's how we think. That's how we process life. That's the only thing we know about life. And it says the law, or the ceremonial law that God gave the children of Israel, all the things that they had to do, those things could not produce holiness and righteousness and purity in a person's life. They can't produce that in a person's life. And so often we get confused. So when we talk about not living under the law, a lot of us get confused with the fact that there is still a law that God has set in place that will never change, and it will never change throughout eternity, because He has put it in place and it does not change. And in fact, chapter 7 talks about that. I want to read one verse out of chapter 7, verse 7. Paul says this: "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" That's a law that God has put into place. There's laws that God has put in place, such as the Ten Commandments, that will never change. It's the things that we have to follow, because God has put that in place. But that is different. We have to follow that. We have to be obedient to that. But that is different than law-based thinking. Law-based thinking says, if I follow the law, I'm okay. That's law-based thinking. If I follow the law, I want you to catch that. If I follow the law, I'm okay. And this scripture says you can follow the law, but you're not okay. Because unless the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and producing righteousness and holiness and purity in our lives, we're not okay. Law-based thinking says there's a commandment in Scripture that says thou shalt not commit adultery. And so if I'm not involved with a woman in any way, I'm okay. Jesus upset one when He came and instituted the new law in the Holy Spirit. And He says, if you even look at a woman you've already committed the act in your heart. You're already guilty. He ups it. Law-based thinking says, as long as I'm not involved, I'm good. I'm following the law of God. This scripture says, no, you're not. You're not okay. Law-based thinking says, as long as I get up in the morning and go through my morning routine and I read my Bible and I pray, that I'm good for the day. But that's law-based thinking. If I do all the things that I know I should do, I'm good. And I'm okay. Scripture says if we don't have the Spirit of God flowing through our lives, we're not a part of Him. That's just how it is. If we're not led by the Spirit, and I'll talk a little more about a Spirit-based operating system. And the law-based system really gets us messed up. Because we believe that if we do all these things, we're okay. And Scripture says following the law doesn't produce in us what needs to be produced in our hearts and lives. And it can't produce that in our hearts and lives. Law-based thinking brings judgmental attitudes. I was talking about adultery, and law-based thinking, it does this kind of thing. If someone's caught in that, we say, how in the world could they do that? How in the world could they do that? That's law-based thinking. Because you just don't do that. The reality is, how many of us haven't committed adultery on the basis that Jesus does it? That puts it in a different light. That puts it in the fact that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I need the Holy Spirit flowing into me. And when we're focused on law-based thinking and living, we become very judgmental, because if you don't follow the written requirements of the law, you're in trouble. The reality is we're all in trouble, because we all have problems going on inside of our hearts. You know, let me tell you something. We're all in trouble. I was at a yard sale yesterday. We had one. And I told Starla this morning, I saw all that I need to see for a long time. Okay? There wasn't much that I didn't see at that yard sale yesterday. I got to watch what's going on in my heart, because if I follow the letter of the law, it'll never produce purity in my heart. Purity has to come from the fact that God's doing a work in my heart, and I can be involved in what I was involved in yesterday, and I can come out of it with a pure heart. And it's difficult to do that, okay? But we're in trouble much deeper than the fact that I'm just staying away from whatever I need to stay away from. No, I need something else in my heart if I'm going to make it in today's world and in today's society. Law-based thinking brings judgmental attitudes rather than the fact and realization that we all have issues in our heart that we better get a hold of and allow the Spirit of God to change us and to bring life into our lives and to bring wholeness and holiness into our lives. Law-based thinking says, if I follow the rules, I'm okay. The problem is, this scripture says that's death. Law-based living is nothing but death to us. How many of us have experienced that in our lives? I know I have, because I have followed that. I followed the law. I've tried to follow the law. It gets us tired, it gets us wore out, and it makes us just sick. And because this scripture says it doesn't produce in us what needs to be produced. And so we live a law-based life, and we feel this emptiness inside because the law can't produce what it should produce in our lives. And we feel this emptiness and we say, this is ridiculous. We need to update our operating system a little bit. And so we come out of that. The question is, what do we come out of that to? The next operating system this passage of Scripture talks about is a flesh-based operating system. And we get tired of the law-based operating system because we know, the reality is, we know that it leads to death. I've experienced that in my life. I've experienced the death that comes from a law-based operating system. But I want you to catch one thing. It doesn't mean that we're not obedient to the law of God. Because Jesus says, if you're not obedient, he says in another place, if you're not obedient to my commands, you're not one of mine either. So that's a confusing thing. How are we obedient to the commands that the Lord has brought and to the commands of Scripture? How are we obedient to that and yet not operating out of a law-based system? That's a confusing thing for us. But many of us come out of that law-based thing and we say, I'm sick and tired of this. And the problem is we don't upgrade our operating system to the system that we really need. We just move from a law-based system into a flesh-based system. And these verses have some pretty incredible things to say about that. Let me tell you one story. I was sitting with a man recently who's coming out of some of the law-based system, and he said this to me, and I thought it was pretty profound. He said, I just got a hold of the fact that if I would allow myself to go where I want to go sometimes, I have it in me to kill somebody. That's the intensity of the things that he was feeling. And I looked at him and I said, well, you know, in some ways that's a really good thing. Because you're coming out of the deadness of the law. I didn't say I didn't preach this message to him. But he's coming out of the deadness of the law and the deadness that he felt in his soul. And things are starting to stir and come alive into him. Now the difficult thing is, will he keep following the impulses of the flesh and actually kill somebody? That's not a good thing. That's flesh-based living. Flesh-based living is when we do whatever we think is okay and at whatever feels good to us. And the Scripture has a lot to say about that. In fact, it says, to be carnally minded or to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we have a tendency to come out of a death-based system, law-based system, and move over into a flesh-based system, and we think we have found life. We think we found life because we're not strapped by this law-based thing. And we say, oh man, this is really good. Because I'm no longer operating out of this system, and I've moved beyond that, and things are looking better, and I feel freedom like I've never felt before. The reality is we've just moved into another death-based system. Because, in fact, we've moved into a worse system. Jesus had a lot to say about the Pharisees and a law-based system. But he also says in this passage, a flesh-based system is enmity against God. That's pretty strong words. In fact, it's stronger than a lot of what he says about the law-based system. And so often we come out of a law-based system into a flesh-based system, and we look back at these people on the law-based system, and we say, man, do they have it all wrong. The reality is, if we're operating out of a flesh-based system, so do we. Because we're operating out of a death-based system as well. Both of them bring death. Neither one bring life. I'm into sports. I have been. I'm not as much now as I used to be, but I played sports when I was young. I love sports. But I remember the time, this is quite a few years ago, somebody gave our family tickets to go to a Phillies game. And I look forward to this for weeks. Because I was into going to watching the Phillies. I love sports. I'd have rather gone and watch football, but I was given baseball tickets. So we went there as a family. We sat there and watched a game, and I remember walking out of there totally feeling empty in my heart. And what I thought was going to bring me satisfaction in life didn't bring me satisfaction in life. And I'm not opposed to watching a game. That's not what I'm saying. Hear me out. But those aren't the kind of things, those aren't the kind of things that really bring life into our hearts and into our lives. Oh, it may be fun because we're with people, and it may be relaxing, and we may find some recreation in it. But the reality is, flesh-based living never brings life into our life. Spirit, the things of the Spirit is what brings life into us. It's what stirs us. It's what motivates us. It's what makes us function. It brings life into our lives. Flesh-based operating can't produce in our lives what we want it to produce either. And so we come out of the law-based into the flesh-based, and yet we still have this emptiness in our souls and in our hearts. And we're like, what in the world is going on? I've literally had people say to me throughout the years that have left that and haven't really found the third one that I'm going to talk about, say, I wonder if we made a mistake. I've literally had that, had people say that to me numbers of times. Because we've left this law-based thing and we went to this flesh-based system, and it still didn't produce in our hearts what we were looking for. And so I don't ever want to go back there because I know the deadness of it. But I still haven't found life here. And I'm feeling a deadness in where I'm at right now. Because I'm just living out of what I think feels good and what I think is right. And we don't ever experience the third option that he talks about here, and that's the Spirit-based operating system. I love this part where it begins talking about what brings life into our lives. Verse 11 is a key verse. This is actually the verse that started my thinking along this line, but that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will begin to quicken our mortal bodies, or bring life into our mortal bodies. What does the ESV say? Give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What a powerful verse. That's the operating system that I want to be involved in, that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part, and I want to operate out of something that brings life into me, not death. Because we all know the emptiness of living out of a death-based operating system. We know that. 1 Corinthians 15:4 said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Let me say that this is a loose paraphrase from me. If there's not enough power to raise Christ from the dead, if that's not available to us, we're in big trouble. If there wasn't enough power in the new system, the Spirit-based system, to raise Christ from the dead, and if that power is not available to us and to be a part of our lives, to stir and to bring life into our mortal bodies, but way beyond that, our spiritual bodies as well, then we're in big trouble if that power is not available to us. And yet, how many of us have experienced that power flowing in our lives? How many of us have tapped into that operating system? You know, I'm speaking out of my own experience. I've gone through years of wondering why God doesn't speak to me. Oh yeah, I can get a challenge out of a book, but to have Him actually speak into my heart, to speak life, to speak like just fullness and struggling with salvation, the thing goes, I'm talking about my own journey here. A years of wondering if I was a Christian, because I'm not feeling life. I'm not feeling, nothing's being produced in me that I can look at and say, wow, yeah, that's the Lord working in my life. That's Him working in and speaking to me and calling me out in greater ways. And so you spend years saying, where's God in my life? I'm talking my own story right here when I'm talking this. If that power is not available, if it's not flowing, if it's not working, what do we have left, really? There's a song that says, His power can make you what you ought to be. That's speaking into what I said earlier. The law can never do that. The law can't make us what we ought to be. Absolutely not. It just tells us when we've messed up and when we're sinners. And that's a good part. That part will never go away. If there's anything I want you to take home from this message today, it's this. The law of God will never go away. But we don't have to live out of a law-based operating system. Take that home with you. Because so often, I don't want to go back to that, but so often we get those two confused. And we say, we realize we don't have to live under a law-based operating system, but then we throw out the fact that God has a law that will never, ever, ever be changed, and it won't go away. And if we don't follow it, we're not one of His. I want you to get that this morning, because there's a lot of confusion around this whole thing. There is a lot of confusion around it. But the one thing I don't want is that we begin living again under a law-based operating system. Because there's something much greater, there's something much better that we need to do, and that's to operate out of a Spirit-based operating system. Galatians 4:9 says this. There's a lot of things I'm actually skipping over. I could go into all the things that the Spirit provides us. But one thing He does provide us is the ability to produce holiness and righteousness and purity in our lives. And that comes through Him. That doesn't come through any other thing. It just comes through Him. I'm going to skip the rest of that. Galatians 4:9 says this in the ESV, but now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? And that's a question. And basically he's saying you've left these operating systems and you've tasted the Spirit of the Lord working in your life. Why do you want to go back to operating like that again? Why do you want to operate out of a law-based system? Why do you want to operate out of a flesh-based system? And that's what he's talking about in the context of that verse I just read. He's talking about living out of a flesh-based system, that whatever we do, and he lists all the sins, actually, that we're involved in, and we say they're okay because we're living out of a flesh-based system. And he says, you've left those things. You've tasted of the Spirit of God working in your lives. Why do you want to leave that and go back to living out of these dead-based systems? He said, what's going on in your life that you would want to do that? Why do we want to do that? And yet, that's the pull that I feel all the time. I want to go back to living out of the law. Yeah, it's much easier to say, hey, if I get up and have my devotions for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour, and I pray for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour, then I'm good for the day. And I can go about my day and my mind never once goes to the Lord or what He's saying to me today as I go as I move throughout my day. And at the end of the day, when mealtime comes, actually, I remember, oh yeah, I need to pray and thank God for the food. And then I go throughout my day and I come to the end of the day and I realize that I have not thought about Him maybe once throughout the whole day. Did my mind go to the things of the Lord? That's pretty dead living. And yet that's how I can live. That's what I want to go back to so often. And he's saying, why in the world do you want to go back through? If the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if we have that available to us, why? Why do we want to go back to a dead way of living, a dead way of life? Sometimes we think that we can operate out of the law of the flesh. We can operate out of a law-based system, or we can operate out of a flesh-based system and produce spirit fruit. And we say, I've done all these things. I've followed all these things. I have my devotions. I pray. I go to church Sunday morning. I drive 55. Whatever our law-based thing is, and we say, I've done all these things, so why in the world don't I see spirit fruit flowing out of my life and out of my heart? Why is that? Well, we can't operate out of a law-based system and a flesh-based system and produce spirit fruit. It doesn't happen. It's impossible for that to happen. The only way spirit fruit happens in our life is if we're operating out of a spirit-based system, where when the Lord speaks to us, we move in that and we follow that. And let me tell you this, you know this, I'm only learning this in greater ways. Okay, I don't have this all together. I'm only learning this. But we can't produce spirit fruit out of a law or a flesh-based system. It's impossible. And we're going to continue to feel an emptiness in our hearts and an emptiness in our souls, because that's just what it produces. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and we pray harder, we do all those kind of things, and yet there's an emptiness in our souls that just doesn't go away. Because spirit fruit only comes by living out of a spirit-based system. I love this story. I want to close with this story. Well, maybe a couple other comments on the end. I love the story in Luke chapter 24, where after Jesus dies, we know the story well. Two men were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about all the things that have happened in the last number of weeks, and how Jesus was crucified and all those kind of things. And they're walking on the road, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and walks with them, and they don't know that it's Jesus walking with them. And he starts unpacking Scripture to them. He starts out in the Old Testament. He unpacks Scripture to them and explains all that they needed to know about what had just happened in the last couple weeks. And then we know the story, how they were going to stop and they asked him to eat bread, and he ate bread with them, and then their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus, and then Jesus disappeared. And then in verse 24, he says this. I'm sorry, in 32, Luke 24, 32, they say this, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened Scripture to us? I love that picture. I love the picture of their hearts burning within as Jesus spoke to them, as his spirit was pouring himself into them, and their hearts were burning with fire inside. And I love the passage, but the question I always come back to is this: so am I experiencing that in my life? Am I experiencing the burning within me? Have I felt the Holy Spirit working and God speaking into my life in ways that my heart is just burning inside of me, or quickening, whatever word you want to use, that the Holy Spirit is just quickening my heart and burning, and I can feel Him moving and pumping? I love those times. I do. And there's times that, let me say this, it's not about reading a book and being challenged by something in it. It's knowing that God is pumping something into you. It's feeling our hearts just burning inside, because we know that He's speaking to us. We know He's pouring into our lives. Do we experience those kind of times in our lives? Are we operating out of a spirit-based system? That is life, to feel the burning, to feel the Spirit talking and moving and working when He's speaking directly to us. Someone mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning that time is short. It feels like life is short. I'm not sure the exact words. I think you are the one that said it. That is so true. The reality is life is short. And I believe also time is short. And it's way too short, I believe, to be operating out of a law-based system. Or the reality is even out of a flesh-based system. And I want to continue to call us back as people to operate out of a Spirit-based system. Because that's where life will be. That's where we'll be able to get along as brothers, like our Sunday school lesson was talking about, where we're not coming from a judgmental, law-based system toward each other, but we're encouraging each other, we're spurring each other on to continue to move and follow the Lord. And actually, this is a twist, but be obedient to the law of the Lord. Not live a law-based system, but be obedient to the law of the Lord. And we know what some of those things are. Love each other. The list goes on and on that He's commanded us in Scripture. We have to come back to living a Spirit-based system. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for these words from Romans. And Lord, You've opened up this Scripture this morning. You've spoken, I believe, to us. Because, Lord, I believe I needed to be spoken to, because our tendency as humans is to operate out of either law or flesh. And our biggest work, our biggest challenge is to operate out of a Spirit-based system. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would teach us in greater ways what it means to follow You and to be able to walk in the Spirit, to be able to listen to the Spirit. Lord, we have problems sometimes recognizing Your voice because of the clamor of the crowd, because of the clamor of people around us, because of clamor of religion. Lord, there's just so much clamoring all around us. And Lord, in the midst of all that, in the busyness of our schedules is another thing that is clamoring for our attention. And Lord, in the midst of all that clamor, we need to be able to hear Your voice getting through to us and to our hearts. And Lord, we want to do that as a congregation. I pray that You would continue to teach us and pour out Your Spirit in greater ways to us. Lord, teach us what it means to follow You and be obedient to You unashamedly and with passion, that we could be obedient to You and follow You. Lord, we need the help of Your Holy Spirit to do that. This morning, I just want to give just a moment. If God's spoken to your heart in some way, just slip up your hand. If you realize you're operating, have operated, thank you, out of a flesh-based, thank you. I'm just going to quit talking and let the Lord speak. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, You've seen the hands that have been raised this morning. And Lord, my hand's raised as well. Because I want to follow You in deeper ways, in closer ways. Lord, help us to respond to what You've nudged our hearts to this morning. God, continue to shape us, continue to mold us into the people that You want us to be. Sold out for You, Spirit-filled, and following you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.